Concerns about terrorism and security in Britain have led to a debate about free speech. And at the center of it, an Islamic organization called Hizb ut-Tahrir, which is Arabic for Party of Liberation. The group has been banned or restricted in many countries in Europe and the Middle East, but in Britain it still functions openly, despite calls for it to be closed down. NPR's Rob Gifford has that story.
Hizb ut-Tahrir was founded in 1953 in Jerusalem with the stated aim of bringing Muslims back to living an Islamic way of life under a caliphate, the Islamic State originally founded by the Prophet Muhammad in Medina. In the charged political atmosphere after Britain was attacked by suicide bombers in 2005, Tony Blair promised to close the group down. 2 years later, that has not happened. This week in Parliament, following the attempted attacks on London and Glasgow, opposition leader David Cameron asked why not.
We need to act against groups which are seeking to radicalise young people. Almost 2 years ago, the government said that it would ban the extremist group Hizb ut-Tahrir. This organisation says, and I quote, "Jews should be killed wherever they are found." What more evidence do we need before we ban this organisation?
Former Home Secretary John Reid leapt to the defence of new Prime Minister Gordon Brown, pointing out that nothing would hurt the government more than trying to close it down and losing a subsequent legal battle because of lack of firm evidence. Now, a man called Shiraz Maher, who says he was a former member of Hizb ut-Tahrir but has now left the group, says the Iraqi doctor charged today in connection with the jeep attack on Glasgow airport, Bilal Abdullah, had close links with members of Hizb ut-Tahrir when they all lived in Cambridge 2 years ago.
He had a very small social network within Cambridge, but certainly the members of Hizb ut-Tahrir, myself and this other individual, he had a lot of time for us and respect for us, and that mutual respect and trust was built off the back of the fact that really we shared the same ideological vision and endpoint.
The party itself condemns the attacks on innocent people in Glasgow and London and elsewhere. It also says it does not call for the killing of all Jews. But it says that attacks against occupying British and American troops in Iraq are justified. Taji Mustafa is Hizb ut-Tahrir's spokesman in London.
I do appreciate that our call for a caliphate in the Muslim world is one which some within the West do not like. And there therefore is an attempt to smear, to claim that any Muslim who has a political vision other than the neocon vision for the Muslim world is somehow one step away from being a terrorist. And that's absolute nonsense. And you only wish that Western governments would value human life as we value human life, because it seems as if in Iraq and Afghanistan, they really don't give a damn and are willing to perpetrate atrocities leading to 500,000 deaths.
Mahan Abedin is the editor of the Islamism Digest and has studied Hizb ut-Tahrir closely for more than a decade. He says just because many people dislike their views does not mean a group should necessarily be closed down.
It's become a highly charged political issue. And what's been missing from the debate, I think, is the security dimension of all this. Because as a liberal democracy, we really ought to consider proscribing organisation on the basis of the level of threat they pose to national security. And certainly from what I know of Hizb ut-Tahrir, they do not constitute a threat to British national security.
Mahan adds that Hizb ut-Tahrir have sometimes actually been helpful in giving a political alternative to those with radical views who might otherwise be drawn into terrorism. Many in Britain's intelligence community seem to agree about the lack of a security threat, which is why analysts say Hizb ut-Tahrir is still legal in Britain. Rob Gifford, NPR News, London.